Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." The Bible tells us that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. And having done all, to stand. In just a few months, if not already, you will begin to see men who are campaigning for political positions in our country. The House of Representatives and the Senate. In just a short 2.5 years, there will be those individuals who will be running for the President of the United States. When the political parties began to assemble for their conventions and to select their candidate, one of the things that they will do, and that is they will make a selection of certain concepts, of certain things upon which they will run. And one of the things that they are, what they will call this will be the platform of whatever political party it may be. Every one of these parties have a platform. And they say that our candidates are running on this platform. You and I must recognize that there is also, ladies and gentlemen, a spiritual platform upon which you and I, as God's people, should stand in all times, regardless of what the situation may be. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The Bible says that there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. When you and I look at this passage of Scripture, I simply want to suggest to you today that these 7 ones in Ephesians chapter number 4 are the platform upon which you and I stand in relationship to the world and the doctrines of this world. As you and I look at that, I want to look at these and I want to use this word unity, because the Bible says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be a unified spirit. In the book of Psalm 133 and verse number 1, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. In the book of John chapter number 17, our Lord prayed that they all might be one as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. So when you and I look at this platform today, you and I must stand on that platform, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot veer off of that platform in our lives and in our teaching and in our practice. Number one is this. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be the unity of organization. Look at what the Bible says. There is one body. There are not many bodies. The Bible tells us, for an example, that the body in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under His feet, and given to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says that He is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. In the book of Romans chapter number 12, the Bible talks about the unity of that body. Romans 12 verses 4 and 5. And the Bible, in telling us about the unity of that one body, the Bible says that there are many members of that one body, but each of us with a different talent, ability, or a different work or responsibility. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body intimately joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part, under the edifying of itself in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you remember, the Bible says there are many members, yet one body. Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, that I use this terminology, the unity of organization. Our bodies are organized. When you and I look at the body of Jesus Christ and the organization of that body, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the body. That you and I have the ability, you and I have the opportunity, you and I have the privilege of being a part of that body. That Christ is the head of that body, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. The Bible teaches us then that there are many members, yet one body. Now there are those individuals who'll take John chapter number 15, verses 1 through 8. My Father is the husband, not my Father is the true vine, I am the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, you take it away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean to the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except to bind the vine. And they'll say, oh, Brother Acuff, all of the religious religions out here, all these denominations, they are a part of the vine. No, they're not, ladies and gentlemen. Christ is the head of the body, and he doesn't have 10 bodies sticking out. He has one organized body. He has organized that body to have elders, bishops, presbyters, overseers, to have deacons, Ephesians 4. And he set some in the church to be evangelists and pastors and teachers until a certain time. The unity of the organization. When that organization is not unified, you have chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at the Bible organization, the unity of that organization, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is unified. It is one body. And when you and I do not function as we ought to function, that body doesn't function as it ought to function. But I think in terms of the local congregation, every man, woman, boy, and girl, and this is one of the emphases that we have endeavored to make in this congregation, and that is everybody is somebody at the Lithia Springs congregation. That every person has a responsibility. That every man, woman, boy, and girl has something to do in this congregation. That it's not a big I and a little you. It's not by one individual, but it is a teamwork, a congregation that works together. My friend, listen, when we as a congregation, if a part of that congregation doesn't fulfill its responsibility, then the organization does not function. Is it all function? The unity of organization. The Bible says there's one body. Secondly, there is the unity of guidance. The Bible says there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One spirit, one, the unity of guidance. Ladies and gentlemen, in John 14, in John chapter number 16, Jesus is telling his apostles that he's going to leave, but he said, I will send to you a comforter. What is he going to do? Is he going to give them some kind of an emotional feeling in which they're going, whoopee? No. He said that comforter will come and he will guide you into all truth. Now that's followed up by 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, in which the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What do we have? We have one guide. One guide. You've got to have a guide. You have to have, and yet here are many individuals who are attempting to go to heaven without the guide of the New Testament to lead, guide, and direct them in the Word that's right. We teach men how to be guided to heaven and to Christ through the inspiration of the Holy Word of God. The Word came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Number three, not only the unity of organization, not only the unity of guidance, one Lord, the Bible, or one body and one Spirit, the Bible talks about one hope. The unity, I call it, ladies and gentlemen, the unity of aspiration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope, ladies and gentlemen, is in Christ. The Bible says that without Christ and His resurrection, then you and I have no hope. The Bible refers in the book of Hebrews that hope is the anchor of the soul. It holds us down. It gives us that anchor. We have hope. Let me tell you, if you and I look out there, it would be a dreadful thing to be an atheist. Why? Because you look at our miserable world. And I don't mean to be negative. I love living. I love the opportunities. But ladies and gentlemen, we sing the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." We've got a place laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a home eternal in the heaven made by the hand of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, "Now by the faith, hope, and love," these three, the grace of these, love, "now by the hope," turn your Bibles with me for a minute. I want you to look at chapter number 26 of Acts. When we were studying through the book of Acts, there's a couple of verses in chapter number 26, verse 6 and 7, and I circled the word when we were going through this on a Wednesday night, and I don't know if Brother Michael was teaching or Brother Charlie or Brother Keith, but anyway, I circled this. "And now I stand and am judged," verse number 6. Paul said, "Now I stand." He's giving an account to Agrippa. He said, "I am judged for what? For the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Now go to verse 7. Three times he uses that word. "Under which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." One aspiration. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this assembly at that one hope. That we look forward, ladies and gentlemen. You see, someday, why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now by the faith, that someday will be sight. Now by the hope, that someday will be reality." But you see, while we look at this life, and we see this life, we love life. The Bible said, man, love life and see good days. Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." But ladies and gentlemen, we also know that this life is short. It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The authority is the Word of God. All Scripture given by inspiration of God. Hebrews chapter number 1. "God who in sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son." Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days." God said in Matthew 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." You hear all these messages on television today. I mean, some of these folks are so far from anything the Bible has to say that it is ridiculous. Jesus said, "He that cometh to me must learn of me." The unity of authority. I do not have to go on guesswork. I do not have to go on man's interpretation. The unity of authority is in the book. Number 5. The unity of the message. One Lord, one faith. When you and I study the Bible, We see faith. We think about faith, Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We understand that. Now then, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated, should not see death. By faith Noah being warned of God. By faith Abraham. By faith Sarah. By faith Moses. So what is this? It's a message. The unity of the message. By faith. Listen to this. In Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's where folks sometimes get into this idea of faith-only salvation. For by grace are you saved through... That word faith in the Greek is the system of faith. It's the message. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. Time my departure is at hand. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. What did he do? He kept the message. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times men shall depart from the faith. What are you saying? Depart from the message. In Jude chapter number 3, or verse number 3, the Bible says to contend earnestly for what? For the faith. That's the message. One message. One faith. The exact message that is preached today by faithful gospel preachers wherever they are. Now, my friend, if the message you hear is not found in the Word of God, you're listening to the wrong message. One body. One Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I call that the unity of practice. What do? Practice the same thing. You read the Bible, there's more than one baptism in the Bible. You read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2, you're going to be reading about the baptism of Moses. Well, what is he talking about? Talking about going through the Red Sea. If you turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 20, you remember James and John's mother said, let my son sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand. Jesus said, can they be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? The baptism of suffering. That's the crucifixion. In the book of Matthew, John said, there's one who comes after me who's mightier than I. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So folks say, oh, the baptism, fire. Well, yes. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15. It's the second death, and that's eternal damnation. Now watch this. You're not going to be baptized with the baptism of Moses. You're not going to be baptized with the baptism of suffering. You're not going to be baptized with the baptism of fire, hopefully, because you don't want to go to hell. Then what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Only the apostles had the ability to do that. Turn to Acts 8. What does that leave? One baptism. The baptism of water for the remission of sins. I didn't talk about those six of them, actually, that I had listed. The baptism of John, I overlooked that. One baptism. What is it? Water baptism for the remission of your sins. The unity, ladies and gentlemen, of organization. Not only the unity of organization, but the unity of guidance, the unity of aspiration, the unity of authority, the unity of the message, the unity of practice. And then, ladies and gentlemen, last of all, the unity of worship. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. The unity of worship. God's a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The unity of that worship is what we have done here today. We have come together to lift our voice in song. We've come together to lift up our hearts in prayer. We have come together to lift up our thoughts of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood. We have come today to lift up our financial resources as a sacrifice unto God. And to lift up our hearts through His Word and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unity of worship. Let's take the worship to God according to the Bible. Because there is the unity of worship. That's what the church of our Lord ought to be. And it ought to be the same place wherever you go. The unity of worship. That is the platform of Christianity. That is the platform upon which you and I stand today. Will you become a part of that by obedience to the gospel of Christ?